Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Save big money at Menards.
Steve Rosenblum.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake, come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know. You know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Right here for you. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody. We are here till 2 o'clock, whether you like it or not. Mark, how you doing today? You did the grocery store venture go okay? I want people to know you did the video selfie production plan for the show while walking in the sunshine to your grocery store, and I'd say that multitasking at its best.
Back just in time. It was a calculated risk that I was taking. I got to the point where I had done enough prep, and I'm just sitting there like, well, what am I going to do now? I was like, I got to get out of my place. I wanted to get out in the sunshine for a second. So I said, can I do this? Can I go get a big bag of coffee at the grocery store right now? And I did it, and I am back in time to be with you here today, where we get to talk all about the Cubs and the White Sox and the Bears and John Lester. And Steve, what I've learned about John Lester is that when John Lester is bad, he's atrocious. That since he since he became a Cub, really, you could go back, since he became a Cub in 2015, when he arrived with dead arm. Remember that way back in 2015? He arrived with dead arm, had a shaky start to his career with the Cubs, had some atrocious games before he got himself together. Every year, he's had games where we're like, what the hell is that? Where he's out before the fifth inning and everybody questions John Lester, and then the next start or maybe two starts later, he's back to being John Lester. So I have learned to ultimately not worry about John Lester when he has an atrocious game, because I'd say it's been since about, I'm going to say 2018, where everybody was on the John Lester demise watch. Like, is he getting older? You know, he's losing a little bit of velocity. Then he'll have a bad game and everybody will be like, oh, he's cooked. He's done. We got to, and that's happening again right now. You hear everybody saying, tweeting, writing, I don't know. This could be the one for Lester. It's not. Lester will be fine. As horrid as he was last night. Or do you say the White Sox were just good?
The White Sox were just good. The White Sox were doing very White Sox things. Two things we learned. Similar to Lester. When they're good, they're really good. And when they're bad, they're wretched. They have 2 6-game winning streaks. They have every sign of being a young team with some pitching, but not enough. And the young pitching, it's the kind of thing where, you know what? How about if we hit 8 home runs for Lopez today, because he's the guy who needs all the home runs. They only needed Louis Robert to hit the home run yesterday, and that was it. That would have been enough for Dallas Keuchel. And you need the runs for the guy who maybe the biggest enigma in the rotation is Lopez, because you so need him. You so depend on him. He was so important in reconstructing this team. The White Sox were doing what the White Sox do. It's Chicago. It's late August, it's warm, it's home run season, and the White Sox don't care what park they're playing in, they're going to hit home runs, and that's the way yesterday looked, and especially a team that eats up left-handers. So I think the White Sox are, I think they're going to be alternately thrilling and aggravating. They'll be head-scratching. Isn't that the way they've been so far?
No doubt about it. I mean, there's been, after they had the hot start, and then when they settled down, I think White Sox Nation was beginning to panic a little bit about that team. But last night was an important win for the White Sox, and here's why. For a few reasons, I'll give you 3 reasons why it was an important win. Number one, the theme, the motif of the White Sox, and even at times the Cubs, was they haven't beat anybody. They haven't not. I mean, they're 9-1 against Detroit and Kansas City. And yeah, you can attach some legitimacy to it. So then they go out and they beat a real starter in John Lester, and they beat a real damn team in the Chicago Cubs. Not only do they beat them, they dominate them from head to toe, from 1-9. They beat up on the Cubs and made a mockery of that game last night, to the point where David Ross said, waved the white flag that used to belong to the White Sox and said, that's it, I'm pulling my starters. This game is over. Number two, that game ended up being on national TV last night because the Yankees weren't on. So there was a national TV outlet carrying the game. Not that the world was necessarily watching Cubs White Sox on a Friday night in August, but it was a nationally televised game. And then the other part, too, was it is Cubs-White Sox. And that was, to me, that was like the White Sox introducing themselves to the Cubs, saying, hey, look at us. We're kind of like you now, because we've got all these young, talented players that are on the come, and we might be, at this point, matching your talent. So here we are now. Entertain us. That's what the White Sox were saying when they were at Wrigley Field last night. So I don't want to be dramatic, but it was an important win for the White Sox.
That's interesting. The one of the things that had been in the air is, with Cubs Sox in advance of that, that you would naturally think of is, where are these White Sox compared to the Cubs are? Because they followed the same kind of template as best they could, as best the way teams do these days. So is this, and you could make comparisons to these White Sox, 2020 White Sox and 2015 Cubs. And then you look at, okay, is Dallas Keuchel their John Lester? And you look at some of the veterans they brought in to hit, to whatever they needed with the way the team was built, with the way the team existed. And then you saw that kind of youthful exuberance that the Cubs had in 2015. You were around it. So I wanted to ask you, do you see similarities, or is that just an easy media narrative that works for the Cup that needs drool Cups?
Of course it's an easy narrative. However, it is similar. I guess here's the differences. In 2015, it was like one by one, the Cubs players started to be brought up. They weren't all there to begin the season like they are with the White Sox. So there was kind of this dramatic march of Cubs players. Here comes Chris Bryant. Here comes Addison Russell, so on and so forth. There was the completely unexpected domination being pulled off by Jake Arrieta. Now, Jake Arrieta had been good with the Cubs, but nobody expected him to do what he did that year. And there's not going to be somebody on the White Sox like that this year, I don't think. And yes, Dallas Keuchel has been really good. Giolito has been really good since the opening game against Minnesota. So there are some, like, if you want to get into the minutia, there are some differences. The similarity of the exuberance is there. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got young kids who just come up. They don't know the proverbial, we don't know any better, and we're just going to have fun, and we're going to do it, and we're going to show everybody. I mean, when you saw the White Sox, when they were out, when Edwin Encarnacion is up at the plate, and you see Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert and Jose Abreu all just with ear-to-ear grins on their faces, laughing at Edwin Encarnacion because of a swing that he took, that was not dissimilar to the way the Cubs comported themselves, you know, in the dugout, in the lot, with the dance parties after every single win under Joe Maddon. And those are things that maybe you don't do 5-6 years later, but when you're that age, you do. So yeah, of course. I mean, and here's the huge similarity is that the Cubs, like, go to 2016 when the Cubs did win. As good as the pitching was, the run differential was monstrous for the Cubs. It was like, I felt like every game was 9-2, and they would score 3-4 runs from about the sixth inning on. And that's what the White Sox are starting to do: win with offense and then make the pitching, you know, make it easy for the pitchers. Remember with the Cubs, like, back in the day, there was times when the run differential was so hefty that they had to start bringing in closers just to get work in games, even if it was a five or six. Bring in your high leverage guys because, oh my God, you know Hector Rondon has not got any work. Aroldis Chapman, when he comes to the Cubs, we're going to put you in this 16-8 game because we need you to get some work. And then, of course, pissed off Aroldis Chapman, but that's another story. So yeah, man, of course there are similarities, but there are differences as well.
Well, Steve Stone tweeted out, among the things he tweeted out yesterday, the fact that only three teams have a better run differential than our Sox, Steve Stone says. And he made other points: only three teams have hit more home runs, only three teams have more hits, only three teams have a higher batting average, only five teams have a better ERA. So the run differential is there. But there was another part that ran counter to the Cubs comparison of 2015 was what happened last night. And I keep going back to the idea that the Cubs won an August series against the Giants that turned everything around. They swept that series. Joe Maddon started managing like it was the playoffs, and he told his team it was the playoffs. This is what's going on. And Jason Hammel got yanked 4 2/3 innings into a game where you thought he'd at least get a chance to get the win, as useless as the stat might be. So last night, Ricky Renteria inexplicably leaves Dallas Keuchel in for 114 pitches when asked why. I mean, this is a game coming under slaughter rules, if they had slaughter rules, and nobody knew why, and it was just stunning. And Ricky Renteria afterwards says he wanted it. He wanted to keep going.
Oh, no.
You have an opportunity to let a guy that's been wanting to eat up a few more innings and continue to build up. He felt good, and we allowed him to go ahead and do it. Well, we all know that every pitcher wants to do it. Every pitcher lies. Every pitcher says they want the ball. The reason the manager is there is to be the adult in the room. The last time Dallas Keuchel threw at least 114 pitches was April 25th, 2017. That's almost 3.5 years ago. He threw 117 against Cleveland. So you're not in your window prime anymore, Toto, and I just don't get that. That's a major difference, and that brings into play the manager when you compare what the Sox are doing this year to what the Cubs did in 2015. And I guess there'll always be questions about Ricky Renteria winning until he finally wins. That's where we are.
Here's my conspiracy theory on why he kept Dallas Keuchel.
Oh, wow, look at
you.
I'm ready to embrace it, whatever it is.
You ready?
This
is it. So, Reynaldo Lopez is the scheduled White Sox starter today. I have a feeling today is going to be a bullpen day for the White Sox, no matter what Reynaldo Lopez does, that he's going to be held on a pitch count today, whereas clearly Dallas Keuchel wasn't. So I think that Ricky Renteria was preserving the bullpen last night, and he sold himself out by saying that Dallas Keuchel wanted it. I think today turns into a bullpen day one way or the other for the Chicago White Sox. You buy in?
I don't disagree that that played a part in it, but that's still irresponsible. You're not going to – you have really two pitchers you can rely on, two starting pitchers. I would not endanger one of them, meaning Keuchel, to be able to have my entire bullpen ready for a game that Lopez is going to pitch, because then you got Gio Gonzalez right behind him. So you essentially have two starters there, and the bullpen was going to be used, but it wasn't close. You weren't going to anybody you would have used last night would be irrelevant, or you might as well use them tonight because it would be the same thing. It'd be a blowout either way. You weren't going to use anybody last night. The game would be close. So that's what you're looking at in a bullpen game. You're going to patch it together to finally get to the back end of the bullpen that you trust in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. I just don't understand it. Maybe Dallas Keuchel will be fine. Maybe he is the kind of guy who can withstand it and wants it. But again, he had not thrown 114 or more pitches since April of 2017. So it raises more questions in people's minds about the manager, but managers have to win, and then they're finally winners. That's the way it is. I guess they're always going to have questions. He's Mark Rohde. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We are Saturday Suckage. We are broadcasting live. It's us, live. From the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, and we thank them for sponsoring our various and sundry living accommodations from which we're broadcasting. Our Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. The Tech Zone number is the same as the phone number that nobody uses to call us on this sports call-in show, 312-644-6767. You can get to us there. And I think nothing puts reds, gold, green stars next to Saturday Suckage than this tweet from Mailman Nuts, N-U-T-Z. Thanks, Suckage, you guys are back together. Last week with Tom Thayer, there was no Suckage no matter how hard Steve tried. Suck on. So I think that we appeal to our letter carriers and certainly sympathize with what's going on in the U.S. Postal Service and how it is being used as a political football and as treacherously as possible. But we thank our letter carriers for listening. But I also think the fact that you were on last week, Mark, and it was not Tom Thayer, but somebody thought Tom Thayer was on, I think speaks to the suckage level of our audience, and kudos to our audience for keeping up with class.
I was finally able to issue a formal in-person apology to Tom Thayer, who has been out at Bears camp, as have I. So
really?
Watching the game. Yeah. Oh, yep. Yep. We've been out there, socially distanced, heavy mask wearing, but I saw Thayer. We were watching along the sidelines, and I just said, "Hey, I don't want to make this awkward, but really sorry if we hurt any of your credibility by having you on the show, by co-hosting the show. I know that tends to dirty people." And he just kind of like took a moment and he said, "All right, that's cool." And we're cool now. There was like a socially distanced hug, but things are good with good old number 57 and you and I. Well, you might need to make a personal apology, but I feel like I have been forgiven by the 85 Bear, one of the 100 greatest Bears of all time in Tom Thayer.
I can't apologize for it's what I am. It's what
yeah, you are who
Saturday
you are.
Suckage. He didn't He didn't come in surprised. He did come in and say that he listens to the show and that he particularly loves Espo talking about the Open. Thayer loves where Espo says stink, stank, stunk.
I do too. I do too. I mean, I in general in life, I like alliterations, but really that one, the syncopation in that one, the staccato style with which Espo delivers it is just beautiful, as if it was scripted, but it wasn't.
Okay.
At least I don't think it was.
I have a text here from Spilkes. So Spilkes says that...
I might too, then.
And this comes from the South Side. Can you tell them, meaning us, to look at the Sox schedule and they would know that there are 2 days off next week so Dallas could go longer, meaning Keuchel. Only theory they have not mentioned. Right. That might but that might exist, that might not. 2 days off doesn't necessarily guarantee that a guy who might hurt himself throwing pitches 110 through 114 or 105 through 114, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be okay. I'm telling you what the manager said, and that's what we're discussing. Now, that might well be true. The manager should say that. We got some days off coming up. We thought we could stretch him out. He wanted to be stretched out. He'd get some extra time, and we'll see how that goes. Then again, I'm not sure how Dallas Keuchel does on 7 days rest. I haven't checked that out. The idea is that's what the manager said, and that's what we were talking about. So anyways, we'll take a break. We come back. The Bears are going to put on pads today, Mark. The Bears are going to put on pads today, right?
You're going to put them back on? All right, because that's nothing new. I've been there, so they've been doing that. They were less padded yesterday, but the pads are back on today. And I will be back out there tomorrow morning. So they are 7 days a week, baby, which means I'm seven
yes.
days a week.
So let's discuss that what happens with and without pads and as they rate the quarterback. And you brought up Tom Thayer. And today was kind of felt like it should have been Tom Thayer's meeting deadline. Maybe this weekend is the weekend the Bears coaches meet Tom Thayer's deadline. We'll discuss that and more. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I'm trying to win. I'm trying to be the best player I could possibly be. I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. So all those things, it's just fuel to the fire, and I'm throwing it on. Mm. And I'm taking that edge to me with practice every single day to prove everybody wrong. So it's most motivating, but I have to turn it into something positive, and I think that's what I've done. And I think keeping that perspective has allowed me to just stay positive and at the end of the day, just be thankful that we're still able to play this game.
Chill, dude. Yeah, you should be. Yes, you should be thankful you play the game for however long Matt Nagy lets you play it before he names Nick Foles the starting quarterback. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Saturday Suckage. We are on till 11. Top of the hour, we'll talk with Jim Margalis of Sox Machine. And 12:30, we'll talk with Mark Gonzalez, who covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. So we'll talk some baseball. But the Bears are, I don't know, everybody's trying to talk up Mitch, it sounds like. Everybody's watching this competition. So what happened was, on Thursday, in a goal line drill, Mitch Trubisky took a sack. And Matt Nagy called that a critical error. He'll fix that problem and he'll move on and he'll do better tomorrow. Well, on Friday, he apparently did do better tomorrow. He threw one out of bounds. So congratulations for throwing the ball away. I don't know what Pat Mahomes would have done in that situation, but I think that would not have been the high bar, the idea of throwing the ball away. Mark, describe the Thursday and then Friday and where this sits, since that's topic number one when you talk to the Bears, the quarterback competition.
First of all, people are not talking of Mitch. That's not happening this year. Like, Matt Nagy is not speaking in glowing terms about him. He is speaking in a very ambiguous fashion, in fact. And when asked about his progress and his ability to read defenses, he's saying, we still don't know, we still got to look. And maybe he just doesn't want to tell us what he knows already, whether positive or negative. But there seems to have been a philosophy from the coaches to not speak in glowing terms. The only one that has really spoken in really glowing terms was Cordarrelle Patterson, talking about that he's a different guy and that he is a leader this year. So let's get that out of there right away, because I've heard people saying that oh yeah, it's just this glowing. No, it's not. It has not been that at all. One thing too that I've noticed about Matt Nagy, and to the point where I don't know that we reporters are getting any information, whether it's a worthwhile question to even ask anymore, because when we ask about one quarterback, what Matt Nagy has done is talk about both. So, hey, Mitch Trubisky looked pretty good today. Yeah, he did. He looked really good today. So did Nick Foles. Nick Foles looked really good today as well. Mitch ran out of bounds. Yeah, he did. That was a bad idea. You know, Nick Foles has made mistakes too. So I have not been able to get an inch in terms of any favoritism out of Nagy, and my philosophy is, or my thought is that is by design, that they aren't going to give away anything publicly, even though they said, and perhaps they have been, that they said they were going to be transparent about it with these guys. When you suck, you suck. And I guess one of the examples was getting down on on Mitchell Trubisky for running out of bounds. So yeah, let's scrap that from the motif that somehow, like, this is like business as usual with Trubisky, that we are speaking about him in glowing terms. That ain't happening.
Yeah, you know, I was looking exactly. I had printed out the Cordarrelle Patterson quote. He actually looks a whole new player, and it just sounded like, you know, I just sounded like such blowing smoke up his backside. And
oh yeah.
And I kept coming back to two things: is that guy needs the constant reinforcement. They're really worried about whatever his focus is, mental approach, emotional approach, whatever it is. And the more Trubisky talks, the more Tebow-ish he sounds. There's a tone, a inflection, a pace. It just sounds like Tim Tebow, which is not a good thing in my book. And then the coaches, it's an excellent point about the both sides-ism, where whatever he says about one quarter, they're doing everything they can not to give away which way they're leaning or which way they've already decided, but they can't make it public. Which brings me to what Tom Thayer said, your new virtual friend, Tom Thayer, a couple weeks ago, when he was on the show, and he said they should, 7 to 9 practices in, the Bears should know who their quarterback is. Now, they don't necessarily have to name him. We kind of want that. Maybe the team wants that. Maybe it doesn't want that. Maybe the coaches want that. Maybe the coaches know. But that's what Thayer said. And aren't we in that area, the 7 to 9 practices, and here comes a padded practice today? And that's when a lot of things get revealed and a lot of weaknesses get exposed if the defense is playing without a script. It's just playing defense.
I will ask tomorrow. I mean, that's been on my mind. Tomorrow, obviously, being the Sunday practice, I want to ask Matt Nagy if he wants to know by the end of next week. Now, I don't know if they will want to answer the question. When the question was first asked, and I think it's only been asked once about a timeline, Nagy said that they want to extend it as far as they possibly can to get the full 50-50 look. But Thayer's right. I mean, you want the team to know just as much as the player to know who the starting quarterback is, so they can all act accordingly. You know what I mean? So that they can be in line with that guy and he can get the reps, and we don't see another Tyler Bray pass thrown during the training camp portion because of the compromised OTAs. It's just not necessary. One thing about Trubisky's tone, and we heard some of that coming into this segment, I will say this, that has been different as well. He's had a legitimate last call tone to his soundbites this year. There's been some of the Mitch as usual, But there's been more urgency, more. I get it. I get that I wasn't good last year. I get that this might be my last year with the Bears. So he is out there comporting himself a little bit differently. I mean, what Cordarrelle Patterson said, that's the one thing that you can read into and maybe take seriously about what Cordarrelle Patterson said, because he actually took a slight shot at Mitch in saying that he didn't feel that from him last year, that he felt maybe Cordarrelle did not feel that leadership from him last year. And when Mitch responded to what Cordarrelle Patterson said, he straight up said, yeah, I guess maybe I didn't do a good enough job with everybody last year. Like, I didn't convince Cordarrelle Patterson. So there is a different tone to Mitch. I can't tell you right now if there is a different quarterback in Trubisky. And I know that ultimately that's what everybody cares about. No, at this point, I get it. Nobody cares about the leadership stuff, the peripheral stuff. It's all about, can you read a defense and can you interpret and act out Matt Nagy's offense? Don't know. Have no idea.
Yeah, the one thing we're not privy to, despite your proximity to Halas Hall and the coaches and the players, and despite our long national nightmare of trying to evaluate quarterbacks and not really knowing what they look like, is that we don't know the play that was called. We don't know the reads that were there. And sometimes the coaches, I mean, Matt Nagy pretty much admitted it, that they don't even deal with changes, adjustments, fixes, tweaks on the field much. They wait to look at the film with everybody, and they look at the film and then check the depth on the receiver. Did he run the right route? Was the defender in the wrong place, in the right place? What should the quarterback have seen compared to what he did see, on which he made a decision? And when you talked about decision making, that's what it gets back to. So we are working so blind in so much of this. But the one thing we're not working blind on is this. No matter what Matt Nagy calls in practice, no matter what Mitch Trubisky does, Trubisky practices like a professional, and he can't play that way. That knowledge doesn't transfer, those reads, that coverage, that progress of thinking and being able to translate stuff from the practice field to a game, to the real field, that just hasn't been there. And unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever see it until I'm not sure we're going to see it at all. I've got no reason to think we will, but you really have no chance of seeing it until you put him in an actual game. And can the Bears afford to do that? I think all these things are all part of the frustration and in not getting to games as soon as we can. And there won't be any games until Detroit, until it really counts, right?
Yeah, and this is why people who are talking about the Bears right now have to catch up, that they're not doing the whole Mitch is practicing great and he looks wonderful. Like, Matt Nagy is not saying that. Coaches are not saying that about Mitchell Trubisky right now. Everybody gets that. The platitudes can't exist in that regard anymore. Reporters can't be like, wow, he threw a bomb in Pat. Like, because, as you said correctly, it hasn't translated to the game. So, yeah, everybody needs to catch up with what's going on. It's been a new day in terms of how they are talking about Trubisky. And to your point as well about the evaluation process, Nagy said confidently yesterday during our Zoom call with us that, yes, the majority of the actual evaluation is going on in backstage, in the tape rooms, and sitting down with the offense and analyzing it. So what we are seeing, like, we can give you some stuff with our naked eyes and looking. And by the way, they practice on the far field a lot of the time, so we have a very binocular needing view from what we're doing. A lot of what's going on is happening backstage, as it normally does with NFL teams these days, because that's where the evaluation occurs. So, yeah, it's... I was thinking about this before the show. I can't wait to hear what the answer is, Nick Foles or Mitchell Trubisky. Like, it's the anticipation for me is building, because you could really make a case, like a really thoughtful case, for either guy to be the starting quarterback.
You could. I think the decision was made when they signed Nick Foles. I just think that the coach realizes that the quarterback he inherited cannot run his entire playbook, and Nick Foles can. And the coach realizes on top of that that the teaching method that he was using, the one that he saw work with Patrick Mahomes, was not working at all with Mitch Trubisky. And if he's got a playbook and one teaching method and he can't figure out how to teach him how to help Mitch Trubisky learn how to learn at the NFL level, and he talked about being a master of all coverages at the end of last season at this point in his career, I think that decision was already made. This is a coach who wants to use all of his playbook and trust that his quarterback will know it, run it, and make the right decision. And I don't think he believes that that decision maker is Mitch Trubisky. But yeah, I do want to know what his choice is.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait. And you're right to that point. And this might be the coaching staff's last call to, will they, is there a tell in practice that shows the coaching staff that it's finally clicked for Trubisky? And that's a complicated exercise because of what we're talking about and how practice he's been good and it hasn't translated to the games. But is there some sort of tell that the coaching staff is looking at, okay, one last shot at this. Can Trubisky run my entire playbook? If that tell doesn't occur, then you're right. It's going to be Nick Foles, because we've seen from Matt Nagy, no matter how much he has talked about tearing pages out of the playbook and wanting to run more, he wants to run that damn offensive system of his. He wants to run, and I'm pro. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Bears fans should still be pro Matt Nagy, run that offense the way he runs that offense, because when it works, it works.
It does. He's going to bring out the entire portfolio. He's not going to edit his artwork. He wants the entire portfolio out there, and you people are going to watch it, and that's the way it is. All right, we have to take a break unless we get a breaking call sounder. Our phone number is 316. Oh, my. Uh-oh.
We've got a White Sox employee on the line.
That's our breaking phone call sounder. Someone actually, I think it's the first time in 2 weeks or 3 weeks that someone has dialed 312-644-6767. And Julio, do you want to do the introductions? Julio Russo, our producer?
Yes. You nailed it.
It's Joe in St. Joe's, Michigan. He's on the score with...
Joe, with a town named after him. Welcome, St. Joe.
Yeah, okay, so here's... you got two quarterbacks. You got a shortened preseason. Doesn't that effectively split the number of reps that one quarterback would get? And doesn't that kind of eat into... the honing of the whoever the quarterback is?
Well, there was that's what we're talking about. Like, you need to name a starter in pretty short order, and in order for the starter to get the majority of the reps. Right now, I can tell you, it is split down the middle, and then every once in a while, Tyler Bray throws a pass.
Was there something you wanted to add to that, Joe? I'm not sure where that was going. They were going to split reps no matter how many reps there were. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Yes. Oh, my. No. Not two in a row. We're on a back-to-back White Sox, like, home run binge. Is that
Do we
our...
have anything to give away? I mean, like, I feel like we should be giving away stuff at this point.
we're giving away our airtime. So, Julio, do the honors. Introduce us to the caller.
It's a day for Michiganders here on The Score. Let's go to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and say hi to Greg.
Hey, welcome to The Score.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's Jim, but it's Wake and Bake, so that works. And it's back to back.
Jim, can we call you Greg?
Okay, I'll be Greg.
You could be Jim Greg, and you could just be a race car driver.
I'll do anything. Nagy's supposed to be offensive genius, and with two quarterbacks, an offensive genius would throw them both at you, even. Put them both on the field at the same time, make the defensive coordinators have to prepare for both, and you just don't know who's trotting out there to throw what at you. I mean, they got to do something to get that offense going. Hell, just use them both. Use their strengths and just fastball, curveball, come at those defenses.
I like the way you talk, man. Yeah, hey, and you know what? And you know what? To your point, Greg, I think that I would like to see the return of the Matt Nagy creativity. And I know a lot of people, like, it would seem like easy pickings, easy hot takes on Matt Nagy to be like, oh, get rid of all the cute stuff. This is ridiculous. He didn't do much of that last year. I'd like to see some of the cute stuff return. And if that includes throwing Mitch Trubisky out there, lining him up inside or outside or put him in the backfield, I think that'd be cool.
Put him as a running back that'll surprise you with the pass. You know, that first year, all the success and Nagy's cutesy plays, the gimmick plays, I heard explained one time as the offense was so screwed that he had to use those to get any production, to where I thought we had some great thing going, and last year just was horrible. But I hope they can make this offense go, because it's just not fair to that defense if they don't.
Well, all right, Josh, thanks for the call.
Yeah. Jim, Greg, Josh?
Yeah, Jim, Greg, yeah. Josh.
Jim, Greg,
the
Josh.
The thing is about all those plays that Matt Nagy used in 2018, they worked.
Uh-huh, they did. And then he tried to make Mitch Trubisky a pocket quarterback, and that didn't work. I mean, Nagy is not without fault here. And Nagy couldn't read the room. He didn't scout the guy. He didn't know who he had playing quarterback. And again, he's working off the syllabus of this is how I did it before with a guy who, by the way, was MVP and won the Super Bowl and all that. This is one of the most dynamic young quarterbacks the league has ever seen. And this is where I'm going to do it with the guy I inherited. And they're not the same people. You're not reading the room. You're not scouting. You're not doing the self-scouting of what you need to do for that guy in front of you. Matt Nagy is at fault for not being able to coach the game in front of him, and he's not coaching the player in front of him. I do think he has a better idea now what Mitch Trubisky can't do, and I think that was the impetus for bringing in Nick Foles. I think that's why he's here's what I want to do, and he can't do it.
Sorry, Steve. A texter says that's enough phone calls for the day. Does Mitch Rosen have an 815 area code?
Shmilkus is a man of many burners. I'm sure Shmilkus has a burner phone that would be out in 815. But we have one phone number for two uses, 312-644-6767. That's the Tech Zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. That number will also set off Julio's breaking phone call sounder, and he'll introduce you to us on the air, since we get so few phone calls, and I think we may have seen examples why. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
With a shortened season and both the Cubs and Sox playing great baseball, the 2020 Crosstown Series will be more important than ever.
And David drives one in the air to the center field fence. That ball is gone.
Listen to Pat and Ron bring you all the action of every game here all weekend.
Boy cracks this ball. Deep center field. Bring him home.
Crosstown Series coverage on The Score is brought to you by Xfinity. Xfinity XFi delivers blazing fast Wi-Fi with no curveballs. On Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I thought that there were some good decisions that he made with throws. There was a few where he was late on a couple routes as well, but Nick, the same thing. So the beauty of this game is that you teach off of your errors, and we're going to do that, make sure that they understand it. And then tomorrow and the next day on those particular routes, timing routes, they fix those and they come back and don't make that same mistake twice.
That's Matt Nagy with a perfect example of Mark Grody's points. Both sides-isms, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
Saturday's suckage at its best. That's Matt Nagy trying not to give away the game plan. And there he is. Yeah, everybody. And I don't have a favorite child. Yeah, I love all my children. I love the child who runs my playbook better, though. So that's Matt Nagy. He was answering a question about Mr. Trubisky, right?
I think he knows that people think, whether it's reporters or fans, think that since he has a relationship with Nick Foles, as do most of his assistants have a strong relationship with Nick Foles, that he is not going to give it away that Foles might be his guy. It's like when you're the coach, like you said, you're the coach's son. You're not going to get favoritism. As a matter of fact, it may be harder on you. So, yeah, Matt Nagy has been masterful at keeping us in the dark about being ambiguous about who his starting quarterback is. There's no way anybody could have any inclination based on what Matt Nagy has said. Maybe people have some opinion based on what they have seen. And when I say they, I mean my fellow reporters, brethren out there at Hallis Hall. But even that has been tricky because honestly, neither quarterback has stood out other than the other in the portions that we're allowed to watch.
In the portions we're allowed to This is a record-setting day on Saturday Suckage. We have that's our breaking phone call sounder. And despite the Spilkes burner phone, that's enough phone calls for today. Julio, introduce bachelor or bachelorette number one.
We travel to the grateful red country of Madison, Wisconsin. We say hi to my good friend, Tim. He's on Saturday Suckage on the Score.
Tim, welcome.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hey.
How's it going?
Dude, are you waking and baking? Are you a WB Club member?
Maybe.
It's good. It sounds like Toby's nephew.
It is. I'm playing having a little fun with our friend.
Oh, this is Toby.
Hey, man. Hey, guys.
What's going on? You sound alert and alive and well. How are you, sir?
I know. I'm good. I think the Bears should decide their quarterback decision based solely on who can throw the farthest.
Okay.
And this is like back in the day when you had the long throw competition on the wide world of sports. That's what's going on here.
That's it.
How about the whole, why don't we decide on punt, pass, and kick? We'll do that, old competition.
Yeah, that would work. But then Fat Andy Reid might win.
Or might eat the football. And then you'd have no more competition. That's just the way that works. So what prompted you to give us a call, Toby?
Oh, that you were taking phone calls, apparently.
We always take them, just nobody makes them. It became such a thing, such a shock to the system that we had a breaking phone call sounder that you left.
Yeah.
You just played.
Guys, check me out here. I have to say that I think this is symbolic of where we are right now, because we have gone from 0 to 100 in terms of sports being back. Like a few weeks ago, pre-baseball, we're like, is there gonna be sports? There shouldn't be sports. This is crazy. We're never gonna. And here we are with not just sports, but it's like a lot of sports, and it's awesome because we've got Cubs, Sox, Bears in the thick of a quarterback competition, NBA and the NHL firing on all cylinders. Here we are in a place that many people thought we wouldn't be. So I think that the phone calls are symbolic of a larger picture thing that here it is. Guys, this is the moment. This is the cut the ribbon officially. We had the soft open. Here's the real open now. Sports is back.
And so is Toby.
Yeah.
And so is Toby.
So there's a possibility at some time in September, would there be a possibility where you could watch all four sports in one day? And would that be a first?
Holy cow, yes. Well, I don't know if that would be a first.
Or would five teams be playing it on one day?
Oh, my God, that is so
I don't know when they're going to.
You could have Cubs Sox playing on the same day the Bears are playing, no doubt about that. You could have the Bulls practicing in the fake bubble at some point in time. I don't know. Could the Blackhawks sneak in a practice or two? We shall see.
No. And unfortunately, they cannot sneak in a coach firing because they're not going to do that either. So that's bad news there. But
a majority of the sports will be active in September. So happy Labor Day to you. Toby, thanks for the call. We appreciate that. Checking in.
Steve, are you running a fan over there? What's going on? I hear something.
I'm not running a fan. That was just the bong. It was being worked over. So.
Okay.
We were.
That's okay. As long as it's just the bong.
Yeah. We will take a break. When we come back, we will talk to Jim Margalis of Sox Machine, and we'll talk about the level of accomplishment, the home runs, the all or nothing kind of Sox life that this is this season, and how he's good or bad or how he's dealing with that. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Morning Show.
Yoan Moncada feeling a little zinger in his hamstring.
A little zinger? What does a little zinger mean? I'm triggered.
I thought it was a little snack treat, a zinger.
I did too. Like, you know, like one of those little nicely decorated, you know, chocolate treats. Yeah.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.